This is Wisconsin Public Radio, and this is Spectrum West, where Western Wisconsin gathers to talk about the arts and culture of our time and our neighborhood. As Jim Oliver rehabs his way back to his rightful place on the roster, we trudge on, trying to fill the void as best we can. I'm Al Ross. This week, you've heard the name Sue Orfield before, I wager. She can play the saxophone like seldom you've heard before. She's here to talk about an upcoming concert at the Mabel Tainter Center in Menominee, featuring three of her close friends from all over the U.S. of A. in a group called the Tiptons. Our focus on the many writing groups available to us all continues. We'll introduce you to the Inklings, based in Eau Claire and always open to new members. Friday night, the Ladysmith High School Auditorium will come alive after being hit by a song blast. A dynamic duo who duel on guitar, impersonate icons, involve the audience, and leave both themselves and that audience breathless. Pat and Glenn join the program via telephone to help you decide how to spice up your family's Friday evening. And it's a big weekend in Chippewa Falls. Well known far and wide for hosting some fun things to do, and often the expanse of the Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds is where people gather. Gather they will in swarms this weekend because it's time for Oktoberfest, with more things to do and see every year. Programs director Nicole Hexel works in the bright, shiny new building that is the Chippewa Falls Chamber of Commerce. And I guess I never knew the history of Oktoberfest. Started with a wedding.
Yes, it did. It was quite a big celebration.
No kidding. Prince Ludwig of Bavaria and Princess Teresa of, I'm not going to try to pronounce where she was from. You have Oktoberfest, but you have it in September.
Exactly. Weather in Wisconsin can be a little unpredictable. And the original Oktoberfest did start in September, so we have that on our side as well.
This is family-friendly. It's a community tradition. It draws thousands. Tell us about the planning's 14th year. That's impressive. It appears to me, and I think I've gone almost every year, it has gotten bigger and better every year.
Yep, absolutely. So there is a committee of about 50 people, and a lot of those people have actually been on since the original Oktoberfest, which we had 14 years ago, but we've also brought on a lot of new people.
Mm-hmm.
And those 50 people, we have an Oktoberfest planning committee, but then also some subcommittees. So we have a family fun committee, a food committee, a volunteer committee. Those committees meet once a month throughout the year and either plan new activities or just plan on bettering what we've done in the past. And then something also kind of special is we do have about 600 volunteers that help us out throughout the weekend.
Sure.
And then we are able to donate funds back to those groups that volunteer their time with us. A bit of a fundraising opportunity.
The sentence I read, there will be old favorites colliding with new features. I think we all know and love the old features. What is a feature of Oktoberfest that's been around all 14 years? I'm sure there's many of them.
I'm not actually quite sure when the sauerkraut eating contest started. I have photos. I do believe it's been around for the entire 14 years. And last year was my first year programs director of Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw the sauerkraut eating contest for the first time and was just amazed how many people were there. So that has been around, and that is a favorite for sure, and that's on Friday and Saturday night. And then something new, we always like to add some new performances, new foods, and definitely new things for kids. But we'll also have a new live glockenspiel performance that's put on by some Oktoberfest committee members and royalty, and there'll be one performance of that each day.
Everybody needs to hear a glockenspiel at some time in their life.
Yes.
When you started that sentence by saying last year was the first year, I thought you were going to say you participated in the sauerkraut eating contest.
No? No, thank you.
Oh, you're not a sauerkraut fan?
Well, I do love it, but after you open up hundreds of cans of sauerkraut,
Sure.
You start to question whether or not you want to eat it.
The gates open at 11 a.m. on Friday. Is it 11 a.m. each day?
It's 11 a.m. on Friday and Saturday, and then it's 10 a.m. on Sunday. The gates open at 11 on Friday, but the actual event kickoff is held at the Line and Kugel Brewery on Friday, where we roll out the golden keg and then announce the royalty.
Oh, so that's Festmeisterin.
Festmeisterin, yes.
Festmeisterin, huh? So how is that decided?
Oktoberfest royalty are chosen by the original chair of the Oktoberfest Planning Committee, so the year one chair, and then this year's chair, the 2016 chair of the Oktoberfest Planning Committee, and myself.
Are they nominated? How do they get in the running?
Yep, we collect, even throughout the event and throughout the year, suggestions so people can submit couples that they would think would be a good fit. But we do like to choose kind of a variety of people from the community, whether they're business people or, like last year, we had longtime committee members, common faces in the community that have been involved and do support our event throughout the years.
Is there a talent contest or a swimsuit or what?
Nothing like that.
Nothing.
Just kind of a lifelong commitment once you're chosen.
Ah, so these people probably already have lederhosen and...
Exactly. We choose these people earlier in the year, so they know in January, and then we've kind of, you know, prep them for the event, get them their clothing, and get them ready for the unveiling on Friday.
Cool. Nicole Hexel on the phone with us on Spectrum West, Programs Director, Chippewa Falls Chamber of Commerce. And we're talking about the big, and I mean big, 14th Oktoberfest this weekend, September 16th through 18th, Friday through Sunday, Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds. Music, there's magic, long, long list of things to do, card playing tournaments. And just to prove the variety you have whip cracking.
Yes, we do.
You have dancers, there are puppets, dumpling making.
Yep, lots of stuff going on in the Family Fun Building, demonstrations, performances for kids, balloon making.
Last week on the program, Jim Oliver welcomed Jim Busta from the Jim Busta Band. They're playing a couple times, I see. You have a lot of music, and it's not just polka music. I love the name Barefoot Becky and the Ivanhoe Dutchman. So how many stages do you have where music will be emanating?
There's four stages. One of those stages is our Family Fun stage in the Family Fun Building. We have our Oktoberfest Pavilion, the Liney Lodge Beer Garden, and then our Northwestern Bank main tent. And those have live performances throughout the event.
They start early and go late?
Yep, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday.
Okay. Now, everyone is saying, oh, that's right, it's Oktoberfest weekend, and I didn't get my admission. How do we get in?
So you can buy a three-day pre-sale admission wristband for $15. We have them here at the Chippewa Falls Chamber and some select sponsor locations. So any Northwestern Bank location, Gordy's Market, the Liney Lodge, Mason Shoe Outlet Store, Olson's Ice Cream, or Royal Credit Union in downtown Chippewa Falls. Or you can buy a three-day wristband up at the gate on Friday until we run out of those three-day wristbands for $15. And then a daily gate pass is $8 for adults, and kids 12 and under are free. Sunday, kids 18 and under are free.
You named some familiar businesses. Are those only the Chippewa Falls locations? Can you get a three-dayer at Gordy's in Eau Claire?
Yep, there's a few Gordy's in Eau Claire that have the wristbands and the Northwestern Bank as well.
All right, Nicole, thanks so much. I know that you're a busy person. You got to get back to getting set for all the activity at the Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds. Thanks for taking some time out to fill us in, and we're looking for a fun weekend. Thanks.
All right, thank you so much.
Oktoberfest. Eat, drink, and be merry. They had this event in mind when they coined that phrase. Down the road, Sue Orfield looks ahead to a gig with the Tiptons, the Inklings 21st Century, Chippewa Valley variety. And next, it's a song blast.
Hey! Hey! Who wants to have some fun?
I mean, in Liverpool, you'd know about people like Ray Charles, Chuck Berry, Elvis.
And of course, song blast.
Before a lot of people in America knew about it, really.
Now, you went to see those movies with song blasts or somebody in it when we were still in Liverpool.
If you can see, the numbers all go to 11.
You just sit back and enjoy the magic of rock.
We're putting the band back together.
We're on a mission from God.
Well, we're very excited about our next guest.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is Song Blast.
Wow. Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Marquardt Toyota, committed to delivering an authentic and enjoyable automotive experience. Marquardt Toyota, located off Highway 53 between Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, or at marquardttoyota.com. Support also comes from Mayo Clinic Health System, bringing Mayo Clinic care to communities throughout western Wisconsin with specialties such as cardiology and heart surgery. Information is on the web at mayoclinichealthsystem.org. Support also comes from the National Eagle Center in Wabasha, celebrating Septoberfest this fall, presenting raptor programs, live animal shows, Native American art, and more. Details are at nationaleaglecenter.org/events. This is Spectrum West. Does the name like Song Blast sort of make you want to hear what it is? Well, if it's just a hop, skip, and jump to Ladysmith, Wisconsin, I think you should. The Flambeau Valley Arts Association is bringing Song Blast dueling guitars to the auditorium at Ladysmith High School Friday evening for a performance. Pat Balder and Glenn Everhart are musicians, comedians, dancers, singers, songwriters, impersonators, and they've thrilled audiences from Las Vegas to large corporate conventions all over America. Glenn's looking for a special guitar, which you'll learn about a bit later on. What do you say we meet Song Blast? I'm surprised you guys are even apart.
Well, you know, when we spend so much time elbow to elbow in a van driving across the country or in an airplane, we like to keep our houses about 30 minutes apart. That's where we've spaced them intentionally. That way we don't accidentally bump into each other too often.
Yeah, well.
So we have a good balance. I think we have a good balance, don't we, Pat?
I'm not sure who I'm talking to right now. I'm confused.
A good balance. That's a good way of putting it. So how often are you guys together?
We have shows every week. We have, you know, a couple of shows every week. Most of our work is in the 10-state area. But then we do occasionally get a fly date, separate rig and all that. When we get off the road, you know, we'll get together sometimes and write. We'll get together sometimes and have rehearsal dates. We record together.
We text a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and then if we don't have to work together, then we don't, you know, reconnect with the family. I've got three kids. Glenn's got two kids. And
imagine what it would have been like. Let's imagine an old duo, Abbott and Costello, years ago. They didn't text each other.
Well, they had the phone. They lived in a closer proximity, and they may have shared an office space and, you know, went in every day. And yeah, you know, I mean, the history of entertainment is wrought with duos of you know, people who you hear after the fact, you know, didn't get along, but they worked together very well, but they weren't even, you know, friends off the stage. And Pat and I are lucky that that we have a lot of camaraderie and fun when we travel together, especially when we do, like, say 33 shows in 11 days at a state fair, where we're pretty much 24/7 right in each other's grill, and we survive it.
We always get separate hotel rooms. There's something about going to bed in your own room that does provide some measure of solace.
Pat never even tells me what his room number is. No matter how much I ask, he won't even tell me.
Well, you know, there's fun times, though. We did a couple of shows in New Orleans in March, and it was beautiful. You know, we're in Minneapolis, so it's still cold in March. We were able to walk around 85 degrees in Bourbon Street. That whole French Quarter. And you know, there's times where it's just, this is a great job. And there's times where travel is just really difficult, and it's whiteout blizzard conditions, and it's harrowing on the road. But we try to minimize those.
Yeah, I was at your website, and I looked at a lot of the photographs, and there were a couple of them that actually made me feel sorry for you guys. Like the one about, the one with the guy, either one of you, I don't know which one it was, but walking down the hotel hall with guitars strapped to your back, and it was like 7 in the morning, and you were going out into a blizzard.
Well, we were in Winnipeg. Pat was walking. For whatever reason, he grabbed my guitars that day, too. And so I had the picture. And yeah, we got a couple of good photos of life on the road there. So
I suppose it's good when you come to see you guys. If you feel sorry for you, that's a good start. It's an early start.
Kitty is our friend.
There's nothing like Kitty.
Yeah.
To endear yourself with an audience. Yeah.
Sure. And smart move on naming your group Dueling Guitars, because dueling banjos makes people uncomfortable.
What?
You did a good job with
especially Ned Beatty makes him very uncomfortable.
Yes.
yeah. So you both have degrees in guitar and vocal performance. Glenn, musical comedian, successful in the corporate world even before you two got together. I was thinking musical comedy, and I was able to come up with Victor Borge and Weird Al Yankovic. Who else is famous other than you two guys for?
Famous. There's another guy. Pat, what's the guy that we see on YouTube every once in a while?
Flight of the Conchords. But we're not that. They're from New Zealand. They're great. You know, more musical comedy, where the comedy is part of a musical song itself. And we do a tiny fraction of that parody stuff. But really what we do.
Yours is physical,
We do music.
Yeah.
But then in between the music, we do audience interactive comedic bits.
Okay.
And so it's different. We got people on stage.
And we're out in the audience, you know. We do impersonations. So we impersonate.
Oh, well, there you go.
10 different, you know, iconic acts in our show that, and the impersonations are hilarious. And, you know, when we bring someone up on the stage or pants out in the audience with a microphone interviewing someone, you know, it's that spontaneous humor that people always have inside them that they don't know they have inside them. And it's sort of our job to bring it out.
It's interesting to listen to you two guys talk because I have no idea who's talking when, which is okay. That's all right.
I'm Glenn.
Okay, that's the voice.
The other guy's Pat. I'm the good-looking one, and, you know, Pat's still working on that.
I'm going to talk like Michael Jackson for the rest of the interview, just so you know who's talking. This is Pat.
Pat does Michael Jackson.
Good. No, I don't, actually. I don't. But, no, we do costume changes with these impersonations.
I've seen those, too, on the website. That's pretty
cool. Yeah, so...
That's Pat Balder and Glenn Everhart. They are Song Blast Dueling Guitars. Flambeau Valley Arts Association has welcomed them to Ladysmith High School Auditorium Friday night, 7:30. That's just around the corner. Talk about corporate entertainment as opposed to all other kinds of entertainment.
One of the unusual things about corporate entertainment versus, let's say, we were original artists doing a concert,
yeah,
is that these people don't know who we are. And oftentimes they don't even know what we're going to do. They have no idea. So we have to win the entire audience in the first 2 minutes and prove ourselves to them time and time again throughout the show. Whereas if we were Simon and Garfunkel, if you go to a Simon and Garfunkel concert, you know exactly what you want to hear. They know what you want to hear. And it's pretty much just fulfilling the expectations of the audience. We have to win even when there are no expectations. That's the biggest difference, I think, between corporate entertainment and public entertainment. Plus, we have to make sure we mind our P's and Q's and not offend anybody and know who not to bring on stage, you know what not to say. You know, we had a recent situation where we did a bean growers convention.
Okay.
And they said, whatever you do, don't talk about soybeans. We're like, well, why wouldn't we talk about soybeans? He says, well, what happens is if we get one soybean mixed in with our corn,
oh, wow, yeah,
we'll have to throw the whole bushel out, and it's a big, big deal. And everybody hears them like, okay, well, I'm glad you told us that. So
so the first thing we say when we got on stage is, hey, how about them soybeans?
I suppose there are a whole bunch of flatulence jokes. No?
You know what? We
no.
don't do scatological humor. I think scatological humor is lazy. Another piece to piggyback on what Glenn was saying, Alice, you asked about the difference between corporate and other. Glenn and I have similar but different backgrounds in that he was in this corporate market for 20 years before I was. My corporate experience was via a rock band. So I come
that,
from
yeah.
the rock side of things, and I have clubs and I have rock concerts, and that's my background more so than the straight corporate market, which is the post-dinner 60 to 90-minute show. So what's cool about Song Blast is that Glenn's and my specifically different backgrounds have served to create a highly unique act in the country. There's bona fide rock and roll energy in a corporate setting, which oftentimes you don't get.
Okay, cool. And I love the name of your band, Spirit of the Radio. I have an affinity for radio, so thanks for having that.
Oh, yeah. How do you know about that?
It's on your website. It's in your bio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
he did his homework, Pat.
Yeah. Yeah,
I appreciate that, Al.
Actual investigative journalism.
Some people,
we're just not used to that.
Yeah,
level of professionalism.
You also teach songwriting, St. Thomas University. I could. What else you want to know about yourself?
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Glenn and I are working on an album of covers that we're going to release hopefully sometime next year. That will be fun as well. I have a recording studio in my house, and we record over here, and it's coming along slowly but surely.
I knew that already.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know that you guys love being physically fit. Well, you do hop around a lot, and you got to run
it's
out.
It's a necessity for what we do, sure. Actually. Not just the road time, but, you know, singing is an athletic event, believe it or not, and it takes a lot of physical energy to sing. You dehydrate a lot when you sing. We dance, and we have to look like we know what we're doing. We have to look fit. It's all part of it. We really couldn't pull this off. I think if you are a famous person, a famous act, and you're out on the road, people might forgive you getting a little soft. But if they don't know who you are, you've got to take every opportunity to impress them that you can. And being physically fit is just part of that.
The other part that's really unsexy about what we do is we travel without tech. We haul gear. Those guitars that you saw were nothing.
Sure.
We have a van full of racks.
I saw that.
Cases. And that all has to get carried up flights or elevators. Or it is a non-negotiable that we couldn't do it. I mean, you look at Bruce Springsteen, for example. He just broke his own record. He did 4-hour and I think 7-minute show recently in New Jersey. Now, if you've seen pictures of Bruce lately, he is in fantastic shape. Yeah. Well, one precedes the other. You don't do a 4-hour show and break your record at whatever age he is. Well, is he 60? 66?
Yep.
Wow. If you get off stage after a show, and that's very tantamount to a workout too.
You wouldn't believe, and especially if it's outdoors and in the summer. So, like when we do a state fair and we're doing 2 or 3 shows a day, we have to take our clothes and hang them on a clothesline and wear a different set of clothes for every show because we literally sweat entirely through the entire outfit.
It's very physical. The show's physical, and we bring it every time. We don't mail it, and we're very serious about it. We don't take ourselves seriously, but we take what we do very seriously, and we bring it every show.
So all of the aforementioned songs and acts and impersonations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that's all coming to Ladysmith, Wisconsin, Friday night.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely.
The Flambeau Valley Arts Association brings in a lot of very impressive groups, so you should feel good about the fact that they've asked you to come. You're in good company there. So
nice.
So have a good time. And Glenn, by the way, I'm on the lookout for that 36 Martin.
Oh, well, we all are.
Yeah.
We all are. We were in Des Moines. Yeah, we were in Des Moines for the fair a few weeks ago, and we went into this little store there, and he had a used one on the wall, and it was in perfect condition. It was a triple lot 18 body style, much like the Clapton. I thought about it and went,
I'm talking about the ledge, Al. I took his billfold, and I said, Glenn.
He was about to, wasn't he? He was
about to. You don't need this. Don't do this to yourself.
I found one for $6,000. I found one for $12,000. I found a Martin D28 for $75,000. But then I went back and I said, oh, see, here's the key. Glenn wants it to be from a garage sale.
I don't go to garage sales anymore.
Again, I'll keep my eyes open for it.
Sure. Well, maybe you pick one up before Friday night, and we'll make a deal there.
Sure. Good deal. Pat Balder, Glenn Everhart, thanks so much for being with us here on Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio. Song Blast, Ladysmith High School Auditorium, Friday night, Ladysmith, Wisconsin. Thanks, guys. Travel safe.
Thank you very much, Al.
Now, if you live within that aforementioned hop, skip, or jump of Ladysmith, Wisconsin, and are wondering how to add some Friday fish fry flair, now that's going to be one of the best tongue twisters of all time, fish fry flair. Try to say that fast 3 times. Fish fry flair. Go online to songblast.net. Watch what they do, then treat someone special to a great show, all while showing the Flambeau Valley Arts Association how much you appreciate the work they do to make life more interesting where we live. Sue Orfield introduces us to the Tiptons and the story of the Inklings next on Spectrum West. Well, you know, Jim Oliver's not here in person, but he was kind enough to send us some of what's on stage in western Wisconsin. The St. Croix Art Barn of Osceola will state Taffeta's Memories Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and next Thursday through Saturday. The University of Wisconsin Stout stages To Be and Not To Be at 7:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday at UW Stout's Harvey Hall Theater in Menominee. My Name is Rumpelstiltskin will be staged through Monday in the Festival Theater at Franklin Square Black Box Theater in St. Croix Falls. Lombardia Play, based on the book When Pride Still Mattered, A Life of Vince Lombardi, will be performed on Fridays and Saturdays through September 24th at 7:30 p.m., as well as Sundays at 2:30 p.m. at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. The St. Croix Off-Broadway Dinner Theater in Hudson stages That Love and Feelin', The Story of the Righteous Brothers, weekends through October 28th. Well, we've been highlighting some of the many writers groups in existence around this part of Wisconsin, and this week it's a group that just happens to have the same name as a group of famous writers in England a few decades ago. It all started at First Congregational UCC Church in Eau Claire. Jim Elf and Jill Christofferson stopped by with a bit about the Inklings.
We chose the name Inkling before we thought about that.
Back in the 30s and 40s, there were some pretty famous people that belonged to the original.
I threw it out to their group when it was brand new, and they said, well, that was a pretty good name, and they stuck with it.
Okay, when was it brand new?
About 6 years ago.
We have a small group in family ministry, and we're looking for ways that people can join together in significant ways of sharing. And with Jim's help, there's several people in our congregation that are writers. So we thought, what if we used writing as a means of connecting people?
And you, Jill, are Director of Education at First Congregational United Church of Christ. What does a Director of Education in a religious congregation do?
Everybody does something different, but our goal is really to connect people in significant ways, really sharing and helping one another to see how God is at work in our lives. And there's lots of different things we do. And we do it in a continuum, birth to death, helping people look at one another's lives.
So now when you said that you found there were people in the congregation who were writers, what kinds of writers were they? Doing
we
all
didn't
different
know.
Genres?
We didn't know. I threw it out as a suggestion to form a group. Several people responded, and since then, two or three more have come in. So we have a group of about 9 people, some from outside the congregation. We found out a lot of them want to write memoirs, kind of a genealogy type of things. Some are writing a book. One of our members and her husband have written a book. It's just about done.
There's another member who is writing her life story for her grand nieces and nephews, wanting them to hear what it was like as she grew up. Jean Hazelton has published some of her stories from her life growing up on Water Street. So that sense of finding your own story or articulating who am I, who have I been, well, in writing, wanting to see it stay alive, I think that's really a motivation that's shared.
Some of it's self-expression. Some of it is actually cathartic. It makes us feel better.
When I joined primarily as staff, and people have told me that, Jill, you should write. And I never knew what that would be. What would I be writing about? And then I began writing some stories from my childhood, wanting to feel that emotion and to get it, instead of in my head, out there. Could I make it a story instead of a memory? And that's been kind of an interesting journey to figure out things don't have to be true, that you can kind of soften the edges, or you could make the story turn out differently. I found it interesting to discover that there can be fiction. It doesn't have to be the way that you remember it.
There's something about writing a life experience that changes it. We have our memories in our mind, we have little stories of what happened to us, and they go over and over in our mind. When we put them on paper, it looks altogether different.
Interesting to write memoir material and then show it to other people who experienced it with you. Well, that's not exactly the way it went. Creative license is obviously a term that's been used for years and years and years.
Two people can experience the same thing and have totally different views of it.
You were talking about your life experiences and then having to put it in story form. How did you get support in doing that? Was it this group and members of it who helped you say, well, this could go here and that could go here?
Oh,
or did
absolutely.
You have to,
yeah? Absolutely. I can remember a couple of meetings, particularly when members would say, help you to identify your audience, helping to encourage as you're in the early rough drafts. Some of the later final drafts, I was sending it to a couple of members. The feedback was, quote, I can tell there's a protagonist here, but you're not identifying it. That was a turning point. Then your guard is down and you're having to write, okay, it was this way. And those kinds of encouragement through the early drafts, it could actually be awful even at the end, but giving you the encouragement to keep writing and to continue to discover what is your message here? What are you trying to say? The group is so present and caring. There are no killing editors there that are going to slam the book for you.
Now, do you guys meet monthly?
Monthly in each other's homes. We take turns hosting. The term we use usually is gentle critiques.
The way the Chippewa Valley Writers Guild mentions on their website, the Inklings are a committed group of writers who meet monthly to share their work and enjoy each other's fellowship. You're serious and supportive.
I think you could say we're seriously supportive. We do have a mixture of experienced writers and very novice writers. it leans towards the bottom end of that. People encouraged to see themselves as a writer. That is so important.
So you were someone who had never written.
Correct.
But wanted to start, or right. Someone encouraged you to start.
Right.
Was it someone else saying you should write what you have in your head, or was it you saying, I should write what I have in my head?
There have been people over my lifetime that said, Jill, you write beautifully, you should write. That doesn't automatically mean that a story is going to come to your mind. I thought, so what kind of a thing would I write?
Yeah.
So here is this group, people that I know and enjoy being with, and I thought, okay, I'll try something. And I began with poetry by a formula, so particular rhyming, so that I could begin to say, Jill, you are writing. And then, again, the encouragement and the commitment to produce something each meeting and to have people give you feedback, never feedback like, oh, I don't like that rhyme, or, boy, that's silly. Mm-hmm. It's always, no, that's really lovely. So then you become more courageous, and eventually you're trying what you really wanted to do in the first place but didn't know.
Yeah. I doubt if there's too many writers' groups where someone comes in and reads what they wrote, and then someone says, you might as well just forget being a writer.
Never happened in our group.
No. So it sounds as if you are a great group for someone who has never written but wants to start. How does someone decide, or how do they become a member of the Inklings? How can they? Who do they contact?
Well, of the several writing groups in the Chippewa Valley, they are either inclusive or exclusive. And
mm-hmm. Yes.
We consider ourselves an inclusive group, but people can join. They can call the church.
It's 834-2668. We're not exactly writing faith material, and it doesn't have to be a faith-based piece, but we're really not inviting violence or hatred or overt sexuality. We're really looking for wholesome and heartfelt and things that are meaningful to you. Now, if something that you're writing about was a life experience that was cathartic and it happens to have some violence in it, that's about your life. And we're very definitely wanting to hear about one another's lives. I would talk about that as far as our faith and our values, but we're not saying it's Christian-based.
The Inklings, Jim Elf and Jill Christofferson, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Again, the phone number, if you want to take up writing or share what you write with some folks ready to be friends, is 715-834-2668, 2668. We'll talk with Sue Orfield about the Tiptons, coming up next on Spectrum West. Good to have you along. Support for WPR comes from Minnesota Marine Art Museum, presenting plein air work by regional painters Tom Mockestad and Don Schmidlap, inspired by the Upper Mississippi River environment. More at mmam.org. Support also comes from Simply Done in Downsville, a place for gifts, ideas, and space for events. Home of Dunn County Pottery, featuring wood-fired pottery and fair trade gifts. More at simply-dunn.com. Some Spectrum memoranda for you. This is Bacon Bash weekend in River Falls. I fasted because I thought I was going to be a judge this year, but it didn't work out. Speaking of working out, that's something you can do after this weekend. Info on Bacon Bash on the website rfchamber.com. Saturday night at the State Theater in Eau Claire, it's 1964, the tribute, a Beatles tribute that's dubbed the best ever. And remember, next Friday evening, the 23rd, it's Garrison Keillor with An Evening for Africa. That's at 7:30 on Friday, the 23rd. The website is eauclairearts.com. Take Me to the River, a series of art fairs, music performances, sales, and events, is this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, at 6 locations along the St. Croix River. Details online at artreachstcroix.org. And it's the weekend of the Rustic Road 13 Pottery event and sale near Hudson, Wisconsin. All the details, including directions, at rusticroad13.com. www.songblast.com. Music of the Tiptons. In this next piece, you're going to get more than you bargained for. Whereas you might think this is just about a concert, albeit a marvelous event you don't want to miss, it has some information about a roozy, which is a doozy ruse. I'm not going to spoil it. I'll let you trip over it like I did. It's within a conversation I had the other day with Sue Orfield. Yes, that Sue Orfield. Or is it this other Sue Orfield? Or that one over there? She's in more than a few music groups, you see, and for a reason. She's a dang good saxophone player. The group we're focusing on this week, the Tiptons. Four dang good saxophone players, all female. I say that not to be sexistly surprised. I bring it out because it's rare and wonderful when four women of such talent can discover each other and continue to perform against geographic odds that might stifle less energetic musicians. They're playing at the Mabel Tainter Center in Menominee on September 25th. Well, as usual, we feel privileged that you consented to sit still long enough to... Come in and say hello.
Yeah, whatever. Thank you.
Yeah, you're usually just a blur. Now I can make you out. I can make out your outline there.
I do get people complaining a lot about the fact that I move too much. I can't help it.
You have to do it while you can.
Good call. Yes, I guess I should be grateful I'm still able.
The Tiptons Sax Quartet, at the website, under the title, it says, Funk, Jazz, World, Soul, Groove, Eastern, European, Klezmer, and Beyond.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That got me dizzy.
Exactly. Well, we are unique. The Tiptons have been around for about 20 years, more than 20 years, actually. Mm-hmm. It's a great story of how they came about. But the truth is that we touch on a bunch of different genres, and it's really hard to describe our music. It falls loosely in the jazz category more than anywhere else, for sure. But it's really broad. There's a lot of world music. There's some free improv, and then there's some stuff with no improvisation at all. It's definitely across the board.
All right. So how did this happen? When did this happen? You just ran into people and said, "Let's play together."
Right. It's a funny story. The group began in 1988 and changed a few members, added a drummer. By the early to mid 90s, they were playing as the Tiptons, and I went down to a club. They didn't know who I was. I'd just moved to Seattle. Okay. And I went down to a club. Oh, what was the name of that place? That doesn't matter.
No.
I saw them playing and was like, this group is amazing. Yeah. And so I went down to the leader, who was Amy DiNaio at the time, and I said, "Hey, Amy, here, I'm a saxophone player. If you ever need somebody else in this group, here's my card." And she totally forgot all about me because she had no idea.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know how that is. Yeah. So years later, maybe 4 or 5 years later, one of the groups was out hearing me play with a band that I was then playing with and was like, "We need to get this girl in the Tiptons." So we all lived in Seattle. We all played in Seattle. And now that's a little bit crazy because we've had people move all over the all over the world. So one girl lives in New York. Tina, the baritone player, is moving to Portland. Amy still lives in Seattle. And our drummer, Tarek Abuzaid, is also a Seattle guy. And, of course, I live right here.
And Jessica?
Jessica lives in New York.
Oh, she's the one.
She's the one that lives in Brooklyn.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Well, how cool is it that it means enough and you love it enough that you keep doing it?
That's exactly
long-distance music.
It's exactly right. And it is super important to all of us. When we get together, I mean, it's a long-standing band. And when we get together, it's just like family getting together. Mm-hmm. So much fun to play with these incredible musicians, for real. I love this group.
The Tiptons have not done Midwest very often.
Not very often. The last time we were here had to have been 2007 or 2008.
It's a long time ago.
Seems like it. Yes. We did play the Mabel Tainer at that point.
You did.
And,
okay.
Yep. And so we're very excited to be doing it again. We've got a bunch of other shows in the Midwest. For 1 week, we're playing five different shows, and then everybody flies away to their corner of the universe. And so, yeah, it's going to be really super fun.
Talk about the singing part, because there is singing in this
group. Yeah, that's also somewhat newer. Amy Dedayo and Jessica Lurie have always sung.
Okay.
But in the recent last three albums or so, we've all started to sing. And so now there's this other added texture to our already very interesting saxophone quartet. It just adds a whole another dimension. And it's, yeah, really, really interesting for me and hard for me.
Did they ask you about that?
Whether
you can croon?
Not when I auditioned for the band, no, because at that point there was no singing in the band.
Oh, there wasn't.
Okay. Nope, not at that point. I don't think there was any. No. And so anyway, that's really pretty recent in the last 4 or 5 years, I think. And yeah, it's been really, it's hard for me and I absolutely love it.
Really?
Yeah, I do. It's so much fun. It's all written out and composed, at least most of it is. And so there's a very specific part for me to sing in whatever parts that I'm doing. So
Sue Orfield, the Tiptons, sax quartet and drums, coming to the Mabel Tainter on September 25th. That's a Sunday. It's a Sunday evening. So Amy, Jessica, Tina, and Sue. Mm-hmm. None of that adds up to an acronym that spells Tipton, but you know what I did? I discovered Billy Tipton.
Aha, you discovered the story of Billy Tipton.
And I went, wow. Mm-hmm.
Well, should we launch into it?
It was one of the best-kept all-time secrets in the world of music.
Yeah, Billy was a saxophone player and a piano player and, at the end of his life, a booking agent in Washington State. When he died, he had two or three sons.
Three sons. Yeah.
And throughout his life, many wives. Did you know that?
And they didn't even know.
No, they didn't
know
either. Finally passed away. Passed away because he couldn't go to the doctor. The paramedics came. They found out and then informed his sons that Billy was actually a woman anatomically. And his sons, of course, were floored. I mean, Billy was a Boy Scout leader and like the whole nine yards. He lived his life, his whole life as a man. Born Dorothy Lucille Tipton.
My.
And really never told a soul. Nothing was written down ever. Mm-hmm. Of course, her mom knew, her sisters knew, but they were back in Kansas or something. So it was a crazy, crazy and very inspirational story that someone would just say, nope, this is how I'm going to do it. Without any fanfare, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live my life. And when Amy Dedayo had a saxophone quartet, you're going to love this, at the time, 1988 is when Billy Tipton died. And Amy had an all-female saxophone quartet called Flemme Fatale.
That's good. Yeah. I like that.
And
yeah.
At that time, they read the story about Billy Tipton, and Amy said, I want to use the name for the saxophone quartet. And she contacted the family and said, do you mind if I use Billy's name? So at that time, the Billy Tipton Memorial Saxophone Quartet was born.
I've always wondered why you were called that. Hello, the Tiptons.
Yeah.
You know, but it's more than that.
Yeah, so that's, you know, the all-female quartet has lots of meaning for a lot of people, and it began with this really inspirational story about a guy who was born a woman, a saxophone player, and lived in the state that the quartet was born in. So.
And successful, isn't
he? Yeah, he was successful. There was a couple of albums out.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
wow.
I knew a few people who knew Billy because it's not that long ago.
Sure.
So there were people who knew Billy as a booking agent because that's what he did mostly at the end of his life. And so anyway, yes, crazy.
But he
story.
Also had an agent
who,
after finding out that Billy was a woman, said he didn't sleep for days.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you could imagine what a shock that would be.
Why isn't there a movie about that?
Well, there should be, I think. But there certainly is a book. There's
Who
a book
would
called...
play Billy?
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be good.
Yeah. We'll certainly tell the story when and if it's appropriate. People ask us where we got the name, and there you go, because it's really one of those...
Now I know.
Pretty crazy. Yeah, exactly.
And,
so.
And people will thank Spectrum West for... giving them the story.
Exactly. Thank you, Al Ross and Spectrum West.
Well, you're welcome. You're so welcome.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about European audiences. Are they a little different? Because you do that a lot with this group specifically.
Exactly. This group goes to Europe once or twice a year. In fact, we just recorded our 12th album in Salzburg in March, and we don't have that out yet, but we're working on getting it finished now.
Salzburg,
yeah. Our drummer, when we go to Europe, his name is Robert Kainar, and he's a Salzburg guy.
That's Sound of Music, Salzburg.
Exactly. That's the sound.
That's
the place. When we play in Europe, we generally play concerts and The audiences are definitely sort of maybe a little bit more ready for something unusual.
I know what I heard about European audiences. They sit quietly and listen more than in...
It's true. We've had some really good luck with audiences here as well, but the venue matters. So, like, the Mabel Taylor will be an excellent venue for us. Because it really is, we're really sort of a band that needs to be sat and listened to. We don't really play dance music. Once in a while we do. That's part of what we do. Only a small part, really. European audiences are definitely, I would say, the just more ready to hear something that's unusual. And, in concert venues and play castles and... theaters and festivals weird little it's super
why don't
fun.
We have castles?
I know we should, because we just they stopped building castles. Them before we moved here.
I know. Well, now see, you build yourself a castle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the interesting thing about your website, I was making fun of the fact that you're so busy. At the bottom of your emails, there are 5 websites listed.
Yes. That's true.
So that shows you how.
Yes.
That shows one how busy Sue Orfield
yes,
is.
Yes. Yeah. All kinds of different projects.
Here's how you can. Yeah. If you can't reach me here, you can reach me there.
Yeah.
So what kind of show are we going to see at the Mabel Taylor? Your latest CD is what? A 2014? You just recorded one, you said, but that's not out yet.
No, that's not out yet. I think it was 2013 that we did the.
I brought them along. Here, wait.
Tiny Lowercase. Okay.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Tiny Lowercase is the most recent one. I think it was 2013. Yeah. We never quite know what we're going to do at any given show, quite frankly. But it will be music from the past and all of some new stuff as well. Amy tells us that she's got a new song that we'll probably be playing on this tour. And so we don't know what it is yet, but it should be fun. It's really always just an adventure. The set list is different every night for the Tiptons.
Is it a lot choreographed or is there... a lot of improvisation going on when you're playing.
Lots and lots of improvisation. In fact, one of our records, which I don't have here, we got the title for the album from a little game that we sometimes play when we do concerts, which is we'll ask the audience to give us a title of a song, and then we'll make that song up right then and there.
Okay.
And usually it's really free, improvised, and all that kind of thing. And so that was called Sunshine Bundt Cake. Somebody hollered out from
the
audience, Sunshine Bundt Cake. And we're like, that's got to be an album title. So that's 5-6 albums ago.
I make fun a lot of the fact that you are in a lot of different groups, but I think that's very, impressive. Mm-hmm. But... is there a different Sue Orfield in each group, or is it, for instance, you play in big bands, you play in Acoustahoo, you play in the Tiptons, blah blah blah, and if so, if Sue brings a different persona or a different mood to each group, what Sue Orfield is in the Tiptons?
That's a great question. I think that. Intrinsically, you can only be who you are, really.
Sure, at the beginning.
But I have all these different flavors that I love to express.
Yeah.
And so with the Tiptons, I'm able to be, I think it's probably the one where I can be everything in this one setting. Yeah. I can play the blues if I want to in the Tiptons. I can also play really outside and much more in a jazz vein, free vein. So that's all there as well. I write for the Tiptons. We all write for the Tiptons, so I get to bring that part as well. So it's if I'm playing, it depends on the venue that I'm playing in, and right at that moment when that music is happening in my head and on stage, I only can do what I feel is the right answer for that moment. So
does the Tiptons ever feel competitive because you're all sax players?
Oh, no. Not to me anyway. No, it's an astonishing fact that it doesn't actually.
Okay.
We're all really different saxophone players.
Okay. That makes sense.
And so there is this sense of, like, let Jessica be Jessica, because it's an amazing thing to watch Jessica be Jessica.
Okay.
And let Tina's soul shine through on the baritone saxophone. Let Amy, she's an amazing instrumentalist. She plays clarinet. She sings. So all of that, we bring something different, each one of us. I'm definitely the blues and R&B thing that gets brought. So they let me do that. And, yeah, I don't feel competitive at all. None of us do. That's why we're still together.
We're all going to have fun watching that unfold on stage.
I hope so. Watch us get in a huge cat fight now.
Yeah. Watch. We'll break up after this. I'm glad it started here, as a matter of fact. Sue, as always, a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Al.
Let's listen to more of the Tiptons. Performance details coming up. Some of that singing that Sue talked about. The book about Billy Tipton to which she referred is called Suits Me, The Double Life of Billy Tipton. I find it an incredible real-life story and may just have to snap that up at some time. The Tiptons, sax quartet with drums added for good measure. They're called Playful and Dynamic. They don't do the Midwest often, but will do the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts in Menominee, Wisconsin, Sunday, September 25th, 7 p.m. For tickets, online, it's mabeltainter.org, and by phone, it's 235-0001. Area code 715, as you might guess. Thanks to our colorful support crew, Miss Green and Mrs. Brown, and thank you for stopping by. I want to remind you that at the Phipps Center in Hudson, season tickets are now on sale. Claudia Schmidt and Dean McGraw perform Sunday evening. Activities include ballroom dance parties, beginning digital photography class, stand-up comedy class, voice lessons from our friend Tony Holt. Auditions for the best Christmas pageant ever will be September 22nd and 24th. There's more at thephipps.org. Next up at the Mabel Tainter, by the way, in Menominee, Friday evening, the St. Paul Ballet presents An American in Paris. And Saturday evening, the music of Monroe Crossing. Once again, it's mabeltainter.org. Well, let's see. Next week, he's from here and wows the New York music scene. Guitar great Pete McCann will join us. We'll look ahead to U-Fest in Rice Lake. We'll celebrate 100 years of music at UW Eau Claire and more, always more. Thanks again for being with us on Spectrum West. My name is Al Ross. Hope to meet you soon. See you next week.